So Jotham became mighty because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. Today, friends, I want to exhort you to consider the steady life of Judah's 11th king. His name is one that does not flow off our lips too often. I've met lots of people with lots of kingly names named after the kings of Judah. I don't recall having ever met anyone named Jotham. But Jotham was a man, according to the word of God, who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And in our passage today, in 2 Chronicles 27:6, there is a unique verse. There's a phrase here that I can't find anywhere else in the Bible. He ordered his ways before the Lord his God. This little-known king arranged the disparate parts of his life for the glory of God. Today I want to encourage you to take stock of your ways and seek God's grace to order your ways before the face of the Lord your God. This is a significant text today for those of us who are in the midst, I know in our family, of the of all of the change of pace that comes with the summer months. Our daughter's been gone. Our son was at a camp out just recently. We're heading out later on this week to do some vacationing. There's been lots of things. We tend to stay up later, which means you tend to get up later and then stay up later and then get up later. And you know that whole thing, and I assume it happens in other families. I hope we're not unique in that. But today I want to challenge you to live a life that is arranged before the Lord. We also just today have ordained and installed new deacons to serve in this congregation. And I want to exhort our deacons in a particular way today, even as we all consider this matter of having a life that is arranged. For friends, when our lives are arranged, then our lives can be prioritized. Then our lives have direction and focus, and we can major on the majors and we can minor on the minors. But friends, when our ways are not ordered before the Lord, when our ways are not established, when our lives are not orderly, then we just live from one little fire to the next, and we're constantly running, and the urgent overtakes the important. And the things that have to be done this moment push out of our minds the things that don't have to be done this moment, but that must be done over the course of our lives. Take stock of your ways. Seek God's grace in order that your ways might please God as you walk before His face. Now, we're just jumping in the middle of a text today, but I do want to remind us that the book of 2 Chronicles in some ways parallels and is a restatement of material in 1 and 2 Kings. Now, 2 Chronicles is unique, if you remember, in the Old Testament because it spans from the creation all the way to the decree of King Cyrus that the people of Israel would return. Chronicles covers a massive period of history. And this portion in 2 Chronicles particularly focuses upon the kings of the southern kingdom of Judah. It almost completely ignores the northern kingdom. They had abandoned the temple. They had abandoned the word of God and the Aaronic priesthood. And now they were doing their own thing. And so the author of 2 Chronicles largely ignores the northern kingdom. But it focuses on how the kings of Judah walked in or did not walk in the ways of David, their father. Friends, not only ought lives to be ordered, but dynasties ought to be ordered. And remember that it was the Davidic covenant that God had established with David that for hundreds of years would shape and form the nation of Israel. And then Christ comes as the ultimate fulfillment of that wondrous covenant. I want you to think about your life. Would you describe it as orderly? I looked up the word orderly in Webster's dictionary. To be orderly means to be methodical, to be regular, to be well regulated. It's the opposite of tumultuous. To be orderly is to operate according to an established method. I'd like you to note in our text today, so Jotham became mighty because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. Notice that it's God, the Lord, the one true God. Notice that Jotham is clearly identified as a believer in this one true God in the words at the end of the verse, his God. That is that he had a public testimony as confessing the faith that had been given to his father David and to his father Abraham before that. Friends, I want to exhort you today to have Christ at the core of your life and to operate based on the principle that Jesus Christ is Lord of all and that he is your Lord and that you are his sheep. I'd like to look at this text today under four sections, all of which have to do with arranging, with putting things in order. Notice point number one today is that one of the ways that you arrange your life around God is by arranging your love, or your loves, plural. Arranging your loves. Once again, look at this text today, and I'd like you to note again in verse 2 that Jotham did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah had done. And then again in verse 6, Jotham became mighty because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. Notice the word here, his. It's one thing for us to objectively acknowledge, sure, there may be a God out there somewhere, but to say, the one true God is my God. I am in union with him. Remember that when God establishes covenant with his people, it is that he may be their God and that they may be his people. For an individual, that means God is my God and I am his son or his daughter. Friends, this is the Old Testament way of describing our union with Christ. Are you clear on the loves of your heart? Are you clear on what you love more than anything else? Have you done the exercise of taking the things that you most love and comparing them with other loves and affections that you have? Does your time reflect the love that you have? In Exodus 20, in verse 2, when God comes down on top of the mountain, he says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. It is this covenantal relationship that is the foundation of the entire moral law. Because we are united to Christ by faith, therefore we ought to keep his commandments. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. So if we love a God who is not the author of confusion, but if we love a God who is intent on peace, remember this Hebrew word shalom, which means not merely a feeling, but a state of peace. May the Lord bless you and give you peace. That's not make you feel peaceful. Of course, that's part of it, but it's far more than that. It's that your life would be arranged, that it would be orderly, that it would be a life of peace. Friends, is it not true that when we are at odds with God's plan and purpose of our lives, that's when our lives are filled with trouble and trial? It's when we try to do our own thing independent of God and of his purposes that we are at war with ourselves and with those around us. Notice in verse 2 here it says, he did what was right. That is, that Jotham did what was right. He understood what was right. He believed that God had said it was right. And therefore he went and he did it. Our faith overflows in our works. People see our faith by our works. Notice also in verse 2 that this gets into some specifics about how Jotham arranged his love for the Lord. He did certain things, but he also did not do certain things. Look at the end of verse 2. He did what was right according to all that his father Uzziah had done, except he did not enter the temple of the Lord. Now, this is an interesting statement that can sound like, well, he loved God, he did what was right, but he didn't go into the temple. He didn't go to church. He didn't worship God. But in the context, there's some very, this is a very significant piece of information. If you go back to chapter 26 and verse 16, just there on the same page, it speaks of Jotham's father, Uzziah. It says, but when Uzziah was strong, he grew proud to his destruction, for he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And then there's a whole episode here where then God afflicts Uzziah with leprosy, and he's a leper till the day of his death. Imagine being Uzziah's son and living at a great distance from your father because your father has been afflicted by God himself with leprosy. This is a significant development when we see that he did not enter the temple of the Lord the way his father Uzziah had. Matthew Henry says here, what was amiss in a father, Jotham amended in himself. He entered not into the temple of the Lord to burn incense as his father did, but took warning by his fate not to dare so presumptuous a thing. And then Matthew Henry goes on to apply this principle in our lives. We must not imitate the best men any further than they did well. Their falls and the injurious consequences of them must be warning to us to walk more circumspectly. Do you see how it was love for his God, the God with whom he was in covenant, that led Jotham to live in a way that was right, in a way that was principled, in a way that was orderly, in a way that glorified his Lord? But it doesn't stop there. For faith works. And notice then the second point this morning is the call to arrange our labors. But now that we have our heart, we're dealing with our heart, now we move to the matter of our actions. Point number two is to arrange your labors and look at the things that Jotham did. It says he built the upper gate of the house of the Lord and did much building on the wall of Ophel. Moreover, he built cities in the hill country of Judah and forts and towers on the wooded hills. He fought with the king of the Ammonites. And then it goes on. I want you to see that a heart that is right before the Lord then proceeds to the ordering of life, the ordering of activity. Two times here, there's the verb to build. Jotham was a builder. In verse 5, we see that he fought. Friends, these are the outworking of the fourth commandment that involves not only proper rest on the Christian Sabbath, but also stipulates for us that we are to work diligently 6 days. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. All the work that God gives you to do, you shall do. Psalm 50 in verse 23 says, to the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. Do you see the responsibility that comes to us to order our way rightly? This is not salvation by works, friends. Rather, this is salvation for works. It is justification. It is a heart that is changed by the gospel in order that our lives might more and more reflect the God who is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. Again, our text today, Jotham became mighty because he ordered his ways before the Lord, his God. So I want to ask you today, are you purposeful in arranging your environment? In the midst of some of the travels, in the midst of the unusual schedule that often is the case in the summer, are you being intentional about arranging your environment? I looked up this phrase on the internet, if you open it. And here's what I found. It's called basic training for life. 12 rules. Children, if you get these, you will be so far ahead in life. If you open it, close it. If you turn it on, turn it off. If you unlock it, lock it. If you break it, fix it. If you can't fix it, call someone who can. If you borrow it, return it. If you use it, take care of it. If you make a mess, clean it up. If you move it, put it back. If it belongs to someone else, get permission to use it. If you don't know how to operate it, read the directions or don't mess with it. Now, I know, guys, that last one, that's sort of iffy. But I want you to think about the order that comes when we make a mess and we clean it up. If you turn the light on and you turn the light off, then it's a fairly narrow time when the light gets used. But if you turn the light on and you leave it on for hours or days or while you're gone on vacation, been there, done that. Consider the environment in which you live. Are you one that is intentional about arranging your environment? This leads us then to the third point this morning. Not only arrange your loves, not only arrange your labors, but also arrange your life in Christ's church. Again, it's vital for us to see here that the ordering that Jotham was doing was before God. Literally, in the Hebrew here, it's before the face of God. The word face is here. Before the presence of God is the idea of this passage. He orders his ways in the presence of the Lord his God. We need to see that as those who are in the new covenant, that the arrangement of our life must involve the centrality of Christ's church. Because Christ has redeemed us, because while he was here on earth, he established his church to be the organ of witness and of evangelism and of mission in the world. Because Jesus says, when you do this to the least of these, you are doing it to me. That when we see those who are hungry, we feed them. When we see those who are naked, we clothe them. Friends, we need to see the social dimensions of the gospel. It's easy to say, oh, I'll pray for you. And that's important. But friends, we need to be those who minister practically to the needs of people. Matthew Henry says, the more steadfast we are in religion, the more mighty we are, both for the resistance of that which is evil and for the performance of that which is good. Arrange your life in Christ's church. Again, friends, I want to remind us, and one of the burdens and indeed one of the themes that we as a session have established for this year is that our church would be encouraged and stimulated to nurture servant leaders, people who understand that God has given them gifts and abilities. He's given them particular attentiveness to needs that are in the church. And as people are nurtured within the body of Christ to step up and take leadership of a particular ministry. And again, the beauty of this is that the session is able to do what it's called to do, that under the leadership of the session, under the authority of the session, the deacons are then able to direct the ministry of mercy, the ministry of practical service, of helping people around us. Friends, we need to remember that there are big D deacons in the church, and there are little D deacons in the church. And so let me say first to the big D deacons, if you're not encouraging and mobilizing and motivating little D deacons, then you're not doing one of the important tasks that God has given you. Don't feel as though it all falls on you. You are examples. You are models. You are trendsetters. And little D deacons, when one of the deacons comes to you and says, "Hey, would you be willing to help out?" Hear the voice of Christ. As one of the office bearers of your church are asking you to step forward in service to the Lord. Friends, again, as long as this church focuses on just words, it's easy. It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't involve any muscles. It doesn't involve burning any calories. We can just get together and talk at each other. But as we arrange our lives, our ways, the direction of our lives before Christ, this involves our money. It involves our sweat. It involves our muscles. Friends, it involves our tears. When was the last time that you sat beside a brother or sister whose life is in meltdown and you physically cried tears? Are you involved in that kind of mercy ministry? Do you let people who are in need get that close to you? Do you minister with your hands, a hand of friendship? Do you minister with your hugs? Do you minister with your heart? Or is it just a Protestant justification by faith alone thing? Arrange your life in Christ's church. And this leads us finally to the fourth point this morning. Arrange your priorities. Arrange your priorities toward a lasting faith. I love how Chronicles gives us a little tiny gospel hint. Look at the last three verses here, beginning in verse 7. It says very simply, "Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah." That's a reference, cross-reference to 1 and 2 Kings. "He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David." Friends, it would not be all that long later that another son of Uzziah, another son of David, would wait to go to a funeral. And then when he finally announced why he was going to that funeral, he would say, "Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I must go and wake him up." Friends, I'm persuaded that what the Bible is doing is preparing for the gospel. When it speaks of the kings who walked in the ways of David, their father, sleeping. They weren't dead. They weren't gone. In fact, their bodies were treated with reverence and were placed in the tombs of the king in the hopes that God's promises to David would be fulfilled. Jotham slept with his fathers. And so we need to arrange our priorities toward a lasting faith, a faith that endures through our lives, that endures into heaven and endures on into the new heavens and the new earth. Deacons, I would encourage you to serve with Christ at the core of your life, to live orderly lives, to use the gifts that God has given you. He doesn't give everyone all the gifts. That's why we need the body. And congregation, I would encourage you to serve with Christ at the core. Look to the deacons of this congregation and hear them as they call us into a ministry of service. I'd like to conclude by reading that final quote there at the bottom of your notes today. Matthew Henry says that King Jotham walked circumspectly and with much caution, contriving how to shun that which was evil and compass that which was good. He looked before him and cast his affairs into such a posture and method as made the regular management of them more easy. He walked steadily and constantly in the way of his duty and was uniform and resolute in it. May God grant us to have such character. Let us pray. O Lord our God, how we thank you that you are a God who cares for us. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to have this same sort of steady tread, to have this same sort of uniform administration of duty, the regular management of the affairs of our lives. Lord, help us to be resolute as we walk before your face day by day throughout our lives. We thank you, Father, for establishing the church. And Lord, for the godly examples that surround us and fill the pews in this congregation. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name.